Today on Real Radio.
So you read it a moment ago. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. What do you want to do? Now, this is today what we would call situational ethics. What do you want to do? Well, I think this and I think that. Don't you think that as a culture, that's where we're at today? If you can think it up, then it's okay for you. Think about that.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament book of Judges. We're taking a look now at Judges chapter 17 and all 13 verses. It's actually a mini-series called So Goes a Nation. Quite obviously, there are many parallels between what took place during this period of the Judges and what we're experiencing in our society today. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
It's just a matter of time before it is legalized in America. There are some cities there it's already being practiced. The FBI has been watching such things here in cities in America. What happens? Anarchy begins to rule. Where a couple of judges will decide who keeps his hand and who does not. Where honor killings will be legalized. You say, that'll never happen. Yeah, well, I'm sure people in England thought Sharia, Islamic law, would never happen either. And now it's the law of the land. Absolutely amazing. And so listen, as we look to this, mark it down. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Did you know that? But when the wicked rule, people groan. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs 29, 2. So Israel and each of the Israeli families had come to a junction to either follow God or not. And Israel as a whole decided not to follow God. Listen to this. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4. 1 Samuel 8, 4. Now, when I give you these verses, if you don't turn to those passages, write them down in the margin of your Bible. Just write them down right next to verse 5 and 6 right here in Judges 17. It says there in 1 Samuel 8, 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. Because church, remember, up until then, the Lord was ruling over Israel. Israel wanted a king like everybody else had, like all the other nations had. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge over us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people, Samuel, all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should reign over them. Every culture, every home, every nation, every one of us, we will make a determination to either follow the Lord or not. And what we need to be careful about, people, listen carefully. What we need to be careful about is we cannot do what Mike is doing. We cannot go about and create our own custom religion. That's what he's doing. He's got his little thing going on. He's got his own priest. He's got his own ephod. He's got his own shrine. He's got his own idols. What do you do with stuff like that? When you need to make a decision, what do? Do you flip a coin? Do you pull out the Ouija board? Do you go to the Zodiac? What do? It's all man-made. In every one of our lives, each day, you and I, along the way, as a Christian, you and I are tempted to either make a decision based upon the Word of God and the direction it gives us, or we will choose a direction that we want to do or that we think is the better way to go. We might even try to mix in other stuff with it. Not good. So God tells Samuel in 1 Samuel 8, don't panic, Samuel. They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. They don't want me to rule over them. They want a man to rule over them. When man rejects God, big G, big G, O-D, God. When man rejects God, he goes for the little g, government. Think about it. Either you and I, we depend upon God to take care of us, or if there is no God in our logic, we'll look to government to take care of us. We'll ask God to give us what he wants to hand out to us, and if God doesn't exist in our minds, then we'll go to the government to give us the handouts. Very interesting. Very diametrically opposed. Even though God invented government, when government rejects God, government will not remain as it was founded. It will seek to be as though it were God itself. And it will meet the needs of the people. The Lord never intended that. This nation knows that more than any nation on the face of the earth. That's why we broke away from England. Did you know that our founders here, did you know the Pilgrims and the early Americans, Jefferson, Washington, did you know that they could not evangelize people without the king's permission? Did you know that you had to have the King James Version Bible only and all other Bibles were forbidden by law here in America? That's why our Congress, when it threw off the yoke of England, printed its own Bible. It's exactly like the King James Version Bible, but it doesn't say King James on it. It says Holy Bible. Interesting, huh? Because you can get so puffed up, if God is not ruling and reigning, you create your own thing. You delude yourself. And Micah, poor guy, he's living in a nation that's godless. He's got a hankering to be religious. So he makes up his own thing. Makes up his own thing. And in doing that, he rejects God. In John 1, verse 10, John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13, the Bible says that Jesus was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came into his own, that's the Jewish people, but his own did not receive him. I love verse 12 of John 1. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right or power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So you and I right now have the choice. We either follow a godless system or we follow the Lord. So look at Judges 17, now verse 7. It says, now there was a young man from Bethlehem of Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite, and he was staying there. And the man departed from the city, verse 8, of Bethlehem of Judah, to stay wherever he could find a place. The word in Hebrew, a place, is wherever he could find employment. He's looking for a job. Things are tough, and he's looking for a job. It's interesting, he's a Levite, so he is of the order of working in the temple and serving in the temple. To be a priest, though, by the way, that doesn't qualify him. He was to be a son of Aaron if he was going to be a priest. But nonetheless, this guy is a Levite. He's got his connection, association with the worship of the Lord. And so he's looking for where he can find employment, verse 8. Then he came to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, the guy that we've been reading about. And as he journeyed, Micah said to him, look at verse 9. Where do you come from? And so he said to him, I am a Levite from Bethlehem of Judah, and I'm on my way to find a place. I'm looking for a job, and I'm looking for a place to stay. Now, this is amazing. Verse 10 says, Micah said to him, and remember, he's got everything set up. Micah says to him, dwell with me, be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of clothes, and your sustenance, or your whatever you need for food. So the Levite went in. This is absolutely amazing. Micah's got all this stuff set up. He's very religious. But he's got enough Jewish background to know, I need a Levite in my life. I need somebody from the tribe of Levi. So this Levite comes along, and Micah concludes, this is awesome. I can rent a Levite. And have him here, and I got everything. I've got my own little cult thing going on. And this is a perfect picture of our modern age, of the statements. All roads lead to God. You ever hear that? We all worship the same God. Or as long as you're sincere. Or fill in the blank. Micah would have been that kind of guy today. He would have had a car with all those stickers on there. And now it's just getting better. You're a Levite, come on down. I can hire you. You can be my own little priest. This is cool. Hey, you want to be a father to me? The word father here is not a dad, is a spiritual leader. Will you be my spiritual leader and my priest? Will you tell me what to do and make atonement for me? It's amazing. This is self-deception, church. Happens every day, happens all the time. This guy, because there was no godly leadership in the nation, the word of God had fallen away from public view. So you read it a moment ago. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. What do you want to do? Now this is awesome because this is today what we would call situational ethics. What do you want to do? Well, I think this, and I think that. Don't you think that as a culture, that's where we're at today? If you can think it up, then it's okay for you. Think about that. Everybody has a morality of some sorts. But if we don't have, for example, the Ten Commandments posted before our nation, before our schools, if we don't have guidelines that are greater than us, then we will choose directions that are equal to us. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? Here's what's wrong with that. For it to be equal to us, now it's open up for anybody. You say, well, what's wrong with that? We should all have free say to do whatever we want to do. You just define anarchy. Man does not function good on his own. Do you remember before you were a Christian? Maybe you'd go to a party. And you survived the weekends by the grace of God. And you went back to work and were somewhat stable for the rest of the week until Friday night came. And then you got all drugged up or sick again or messed up, whatever you were doing. You didn't have the restraints. Now that you're a Christian, your life has changed. But think about it for a moment. If we don't have something greater than ourselves ruling over us, we will gravitate towards something that is equal to or less than ourselves. And that's what situational ethics does. If it feels good to you, do it. Look out for number one. Do you realize if you really follow that philosophy through to the end, you will have anarchy on the streets? Because what feels good to me may be very harmful to you. But, I'm looking out for number one. It feels good to me. Where do you end in the justification? Micah has established a religious system that for him covers all of the bases. It's got a little bit of Judaism in it. It's got a little bit of Babylonianism. Got all these basic things in it from these various cultures that had infiltrated his world. And he adopted them all. He made this thing. And now to top it off, he's got just the right little Jewish splash on it. He can rent a Levi. This is awesome. And now he's got this guy there. And deception's like that. It's like a mirage. Have you ever actually seen, I've never seen a mirage, but have you seen in the desert when you supposedly experience a mirage, you hallucinate? Have you ever seen, some people say, when you see water in the desert, you know, you're going across the desert and you see what looks like water up ahead, what's the heat waves rising up, you'll follow it forever, you know, you'll never get to the water because there's no water there. When you start losing your senses, you begin to see it as an ocean or a lake that you're getting towards. Religious deceptions like that. Everything that you and I experience as a believer, we are to judge against the Bible. What is someone saying in the context of religion? Judge it according to the Bible. I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are. Whatever they say, search to the Bible and see if what they're saying is true. You do that and you will be a discerning believer. You will never be led astray. You'll never be tricked. You won't be hoodwinked or goofed up by people. But if you don't know the Bible, And if our nation doesn't know the Bible, then it will do anything. And that's where we're at today as a nation. We'll do anything. And people will talk. They'll say, well, this is the reason why we're going to do it. And to them, in their group, it makes perfect sense. Well, that makes sense. And then somebody comes along who's enlightened by the Word of God and hears that dialogue taking place, and they'll say, what in the world? You don't want to do that. It'd be better for you to do this. And then it gets big discussion, and no, that's crazy. And is it biblical? That's the standard the believer is to hold to. So if we don't do that, there'll be a big, big deception going on in our lives. And Mike is all caught up into this stuff. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times, or the last days, some people will depart from the faith. That means there'll be people who look like Christians, can't tell that they're not Christians, but in time they'll wind up giving up. Giving heed, this is what they do. They give attention to, they let their ear go toward the listening of deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. The Bible says that in the last days, there's going to be stuff said in the context of religion that's the doctrine of demons. Demons have dreamt it up. And those demons are out to deceive. It goes on, verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. That word conscience seared with a hot iron means that they have been burned to the point in their conscience. It's a very graphic word, church. Listen. They've been burned or seared in their conscience to the point where they can no longer think or feel anything righteous any longer. The word implies that they have been convicted so much by the Holy Spirit without yielding to Him that they don't hear His voice anymore until they get to the point of absolute silence. They can't hear God at all. And when they reach that point, their conscience becomes seared with a hot iron, and they're open now to the reception of the doctrines of demons that demonic spirits will bring in the last days. Man, that is amazing. Listen, is the Holy Spirit convicting you of some sin in your life? If He is, obey Him now. Why? Because if you keep pushing Him off, there'll be a day when you don't hear Him anymore. That's a bad day. For example, maybe when you were young, you crossed the line of something that you were not supposed to do. And when you did it, your heart was broken. In fact, your parents could read you like a book. What's wrong with you? Your heart was so tender that when you broke that rule and went against what they had said, you were probably maybe even crying about it, and you got caught, and then you said, I'd never do that again, but you wound up doing it again, and the sting, are you with me, everybody, tonight? The sting was not quite as intense as it was the first time when you got caught. You felt bad, but it wasn't so bad. And then you did it a third time, and watch how the scales tip. You began to do it a fourth or fifth or sixth time. No longer, or maybe now very faint, do you hear the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And now you're excited about that sin. Where if you just look back 6 months ago, you were terrified about it. What has happened? Your conscience is being seared with a hot iron. And when we don't listen to God, there's a callousness that builds up over our heart. That's why the Bible says our hearts need to be circumcised and made tender again. And that's done by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of what's good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Wow, what a list. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're living in those days today. But according to their own desires, this is exactly like Micah. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up to themselves teachers. They'll gravitate toward, quote, Bible teachers who tell them what they want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure the afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That's written to every believer. So in verse 11, he says there, dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me. Be the authority in my life. Then the Levite was content to dwell with the man. He was happy about it. This is cool. I got a job. This is sad, you guys. This is the Levite. It's kind of like you went to university. You got a degree. You got an architectural degree. You can build anything you want. And now you're pumping gas because things have happened in your life, and you got all this knowledge because of your upbringing, because of your exposure and experience. You should be doing greater things. And I wonder how many times in my own life God is saying to me, Jack, come on, tune in. I want to do greater things. In our lives together, as a church maybe, we want to do greater things. Come on, church, the Lord is saying. This guy's a Levite, and he's being hired by a guy to do this little thing. He's got a little shrine. The guy should be working for the Lord at the temple. He's working in this guy's living room with this Pardo temple set up. It's hokey. It's pathetic and funny at the same time. This guy thinks it's great. The word, he's content. Oh, this is great. Got a job, pulling down some clothes, got my food. Then it says in verse 11, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. So Micah consecrated the Levite. So where did Micah get the consecrated certificate from? See how funny this is?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at Judges chapter 17 in all 13 verses. It's actually a mini-series called So Goes a Nation, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we examine what took place during that period of the Judges and what we're experiencing in our society today. Now, before we wrap up today's program, here's our teacher with an important announcement.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and it's that time of the year again where we as a church, as a ministry, take stock of us being good stewards of God's investment in the ministry here at Real Radio. And for that reason, we're asking you to let us know if you're listening. Is anyone out there listening to Real Radio? And so you could really help us by letting us know if you're there, by giving us the information about the station that you're listening to us on right now and the time of day. That would be great. Again, the station name and the time of day and website if possible. I'm sure that you can understand why we're doing this at a time like this, as so many people are going through economic downturns and difficulties. Well, listen, Christian radio is no different. And so we really want to be wise stewards as to the effectiveness of our stewardship and our investment in the kingdom of God. So we would love to hear from you. And while we're at it, for those of you who are being blessed by the Lord, maybe you'd like to partner with us in getting out the word of God. I think by now, if you've listened to Real Radio, you've learned that we are committed to telling the world about Jesus Christ. Listen, by no means would we have you take away from your regular giving at your church, but if you'd like to help us spread the word around the world via Real Radio, then we'd love to hear from you.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.